Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Awesome. I think we definitely have the best looking kids here at BBC, right? Such cuties. And as seeing so many kids growing up, it's awesome. But you know, the end of that said, life is better together. And so we're kicking off a new series today, and guess what it's called? Life is Better Together. And so this is a series on relationships and just how important they are and how God defined us and made us to live together and not be so alone, independent, disconnected, and things like that. Life works better when you're connected to the body, right? And so when we're looking over here, look over at Romans chapter 12, verse number 5, and let's look at how God has designed us. We're going to talk this first week, and through the weeks we're going to go in, we're going to talk about marriage, we're going to talk about work relationships, we're going to talk about, talk with all of our single friends. How many have somebody you know they're single, or you're single, right? That's it? Nobody else? I was giving you an opportunity to show everybody that you're single, you know, like maybe look across the aisle. You blew that opportunity. I'm trying to help you. But all right, well, another time. We're going to talk about that, and we're just going to talk about how life is supposed to work, right? Because, you know, when you use stuff and you have it, you don't use it correctly, it doesn't work the right way, right? You guys all know my favorite commercial, the insurance commercial with the little old lady, and she's got Facebook, and she's got all the pictures on her wall, like physical wall, and the lady says, that's not how any of this works. And sometimes we can go through life, and we're not doing it right. And so we got to get to the Word, and the Word shows us how stuff works right. And so over here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 5, we've got the NIV up here. I don't have an NIV Bible. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. It says, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I like how the New Living Translation says it well. It says, and each of us needs all the others. The Bible's telling us that we need one another. So look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Now look at your other neighbor and say, you need me.
You need me.
You need me. Now, any married people in here, is that the first time you've talked in a while? Anybody? Trying to, it's free, just getting those marriages going good, right? No, I'm just kidding. But you know, we need one another. The Bible tells us that. And so today we want to just talk about a few different relationships that each one of us needs. We need these people in our life, and usually it's more than one person. We need this group, this community, and that's really the word we're going to be using today is community, because we need a community of people, and that's a group of people that are bonded together with a common belief. How many think that describes the church? We are a church. We are. The Bible calls us a body of believers, the family of believers. We could be called a community. It's a group of people, and we love the Lord, and we're on this journey of life together. And after first service, Pastor Norm sent me a text, and it says, "Life, don't do it alone." And that's good advice, isn't it? Don't do it alone. And so the first group of people, or the first kind of people that I need with me, you need with you, according to the Word, is that we need people who are going to walk through this life with us. We, you know, even the Bible tells us all the way back in the beginning, the Lord started it off right. And he said, after he created Adam, what did he say? He said it's not good for him to be alone. And sometimes people think, you hear this a lot, you say, all I need is God. As long as I have God, that's all I need. Well, you need God, but Adam was in the Garden of Eden before any sin had ever even come into the world, before any mistakes, before any of that. He walked in the garden with God face to face, the Bible said, and even in that condition, God said, it's not good for him to be alone. And so we've got to look and say, you know what? God knows what he's talking about. We're not designed to be alone. We're designed to operate together, to be with one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says this. I quote this a lot. Lots of pastors quote this because it's so important. But especially now, because we just finished a whole series on what? the end times. And so this scripture is for us now. And it says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day is it talking about? It's not just any day. It's capitalized in the Bible. It's talking about the day. When Jesus is returning, the day. We've all been doing this, the day, right? And he says, don't forsake the assembly together. He says, listen, don't stop getting together. He's not just talking about church. He's talking about as believers, we need to get together and we need to encourage one another. We need to be there for one another. And he says, especially as you see, stood together, the day approaching. And you know why I believe that is? Because how many know that life is getting tougher? Anybody notice that? Life's getting tougher. And we are in the end times. We established that in our series we just did. We are in the end times, and things are getting more difficult, especially for believers. I mean, you turn on the news, and there is just an attack against the body of Christ, physically and spiritually, happening all over the world. And so the Bible is telling us, it's saying, listen, especially as you see these end days coming, as we live in the end times, especially then, you need community. You need the believers who are going to be together with you to encourage you, support you, to lift you up, to be there for you. We need one another. We need one another. That's not just me saying that. That's the Bible saying that. Amen? And so when we're talking about people to walk with us, life's a journey. We don't want life is better together. And really, there's three reasons really that we need some friends. One, it's just safer to be with more than one person, right? Isn't it safer to not be by yourself? Anybody walking down a dark alley lately and you think, man, I wish somebody was with me, right? Yeah. It's safer to be with other people. Even Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, he always sent them two by two. Jesus shows us by his example for his life. He didn't, you know, he was God made flesh. And when he got on the earth, he didn't immediately start preaching and doing miracles and all that. What was the first thing that Jesus did when he became a man? He gathered a team together. He gathered a team. He went and he got the people to walk with him before he did anything. And that should really show us a lot. If Jesus needed people, how much more do we need people? But it's safer to be with people. I know when I went to Africa a few months ago and just so blessed by the trip, it was a blessing to me. I was a guest of people. They paid the whole way. It was just wonderful. And how many know that's the kind of trip to take, right? You know, you don't have to open your wallet. You're just blessed. And so anyway, they flew us over first class. I'll tell you, once you go first class, it's kind of like, where you want me to sit? Where? No, I should be up here in front, right? But when we flew over, it's a really long flight. Obviously, you're flying all the way to Africa. It's a pretty long flight. But when we flew over, now this is how first class is. It's just amazing. It was my first time, hopefully not my last time, sitting in it. But your seat reclines all the way to a bed. And then you have this, like, partition that comes up, you know, in case you drool while you sleep or something, you know, so nobody can see you. You got, like, this privacy partition that comes up. And then when you get on there, they give you a mask to put on. You put the mask on. And they give you a big fluffy pillow and a big down blanket. And, I mean, it's fabulous. And they feed you this big meal, and then they turn all the lights down, and it's time to go to sleep. Right? So on the way over there, I was with, now, you know, I was with Shekinah Glory. I mean, you know, I'm riding on their glory coattails, right? I mean, surely they've prayed for this trip. Everything's going to be fine. So I'm with Ray and Cindy and Lois, like super anointed people. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I slept the whole time. I even missed breakfast because I was still sleeping. And then I woke up to Cindy. How many know Cindy from Shekinah Glory? She's a little bit of a character. And she's looming into my private first class seat. Into my, you know, she's beyond, she has crossed the privacy partition. And she's looming into my seat. Her face is like this far from mine. And that's how I woke up. And she says, will you pray for me to sleep like you sleep? But I was able to sleep like that because I felt very safe. I was fine. But you know what? On the way back, I was all alone. I flew from Africa all the way home by myself because they all were staying longer than me. And you know what? On that flight back, no sleep. No sleep, because I kept looking around thinking, I don't know anybody. If I start snoring, nobody's going to wake me up. You know, I mean, I needed a friend, and I didn't know anybody on the plane, so I didn't really sleep the whole way. So by the time I got home, whew, that was rough. But it was totally different. What was the difference? One, I was with my friends. I was with believers. I was with my community. I was with the body of Christ. The other one, not so much. All alone. Life is better when we do stuff together. Amen. You feel safer. And it's more supportive. It's so great to have people in your life who will look at you and say, I believe in you. I believe in you. You know, I got a text from Amber. You know, Amber's away at college. And are we all still praying for Angel? Because he needs it. This little baby girl is away at college. And I got a text from her. We had sent her something. And just want her to know we love her. We care about her. And I asked her, how are you doing? How are you handling being away? Because, you know, this is a tight-knit family. Anybody ever been to the Cintron's house? It's a tight-knit family. And she's all alone. She's got her friends out there. You know what she said? She said, it makes it so much easier knowing that you all support me. She was talking about us as a church. She said, it makes it easier knowing that you guys are praying for me and you support me. And I'm sure it does. Life is better when you have people that support you, who will say, hey, I believe in what you're doing. Tom and Leslie are getting ready to, Tom's already there. He's already in Oklahoma. She's getting ready to leave for there. But you know what? We still call Tom, make sure he's okay out there. Even though he's not here, he's still part of this body. And when she leaves and she takes her kids, oh, it's going to be a sad day. They're gonna be there, but it's just for a season. God's called them out there to learn and grow in ministry, and then God's got something great for them. But you know what? I know it makes it better knowing that you've got a whole body of people that believe in you and support you and are praying for you, right? Life is better with people in it. And so it's safer. It's more supportive for sure. How many ever been to the gym by yourself? It's just not the same. Believe it or not, I do go to the gym. I know that might be hard to believe, but I do. Imagine if I didn't. Imagine that. That'd be rough, right? But I do go. And if I go by myself, I'm just this high. I'm just kind of like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I'm just like, all right, I'm done. Let's go get breakfast, right? But if I go with somebody who's fit, who knows what they're doing, it's so much better for me. Because they're like, all right, come on, let's go. One more. You can do it. You know, and you find yourself getting a way better workout when you work out with somebody who's supportive of you. Life's better with people in our lives. And you know, the last thing, we're smarter when we're together. All of us are a whole lot smarter than one of us. And that's why here at BBC, one of the things that we are big on, and it doesn't happen by accident, it happens by design. We have a team here. When we did this thing on Friday night, it wasn't one person. It was 73 people. And everybody's input is welcomed. And sometimes, at the end of an event, we ask people, hey, what could we do better? How could we improve? And we get some of the best ideas back because all of us are much smarter than just one of us. And so when we walk life with people, we're safer, we have more support, and we're a whole lot smarter. And that's why God says, listen, you're part of a body. And don't forsake the assembly. Don't stop being part of the body because you need each other. Life's better together, right? And really, when we think about it, being together, it's God's answer to loneliness. There's no believer should experience long-term loneliness. Every once in a while, we have those days where we may feel lonely. But as a believer, we're part of a body. And that's the answer to loneliness. It's the antidote. You've got people that care about you because you're part of a community. But you know what? There's people that do church all wrong. They do it all wrong. And then they blame church. And it's not church. It's you're not doing it right. Because that's not how it works. There are people who you can walk in and you can hear a message and you can walk out and you can feel lonely and unchanged and uncared for. Because a message is not all there is to church. This is only a very small part of church. Church is believers together. When we just had a good friend of all of ours, someone that many of us in here love dearly. She went on to heaven, and that was Ava Feldman. And when Ava came into church, she did church right. Because she came in, she didn't know anybody, didn't know a single person that went here. She had no family at all that was close to her, no biological family. But she came in, and she plugged in. She didn't just sit in a pew and then get up and leave and do life on her own. Here was a single woman with no biological family close to her. Yet, when she was in the hospital, in hospice, one of the hospice nurses came to me and said this. She said, I have never, in all my years of working here, I have never seen anyone as loved as this woman. She said, I've never seen anything like it. It is amazing. And none of them are her biological family. They're all her church family. But you know, that didn't happen by accident. Ava came up to me and said, I want to start a group for ladies. All right, let's do it. And she did it. She started one of our first small groups. And I tell you, she formed a group of ladies that were a community in themselves. And they are there for each other. They support each other. They help each other. They pray for each other. They laugh with each other. They cry with each other. They are together. And that's what church is all about. But it doesn't just happen. It happens because we come in and we say, I'm going to be part of this community. But there's always, no church is perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, you're why. But that's the truth. You can look at me, you're why. No church is perfect because no person is perfect. Every church has a mistake. Every church has something that could have been done better. Everybody has a time when maybe you got hurt because we're with imperfect people. But that's why we're all still welcomed, because we're all imperfect. But we can't let a hurt that happened, a mistake that happened, make you say, well, I can't get close to anybody because I was hurt once. Because life's no good on your own. Even God said, it's not good for you to be alone. Life hurts sometimes because we got imperfect people running the show. But where there's love, love covers. Love says, hey, you really messed up, but come on, we love you. Love says, hey, you shouldn't have done that, and that hurt me, but I'm going to love you. And when we hurt, when we mistakenly hurt people, we need to say, I'm sorry. Whatever I did, please, I'm sorry. Let me make it right. That's how relationships work. Because if you got just done every time somebody hurt you, we'd all be on an island. Because we have hurt people and we have been hurt. That's life. Because there's no perfect people. When you find the perfect church, as soon as you get there, it's over. Because you're there. Because it doesn't exist. You know, I always say, every church looks good from far away. You know, as a leader, sometimes you go and you go to other churches like, man, they got, and then you start talking to the pastor and they start saying, they got all the same problems you have. You know why? Because people are the same. People make mistakes. We fall down. We get up. We try to make it right. We keep going, right? But the answer is not to say, I'm done. Because God says that's not good for you. You're lacking support. You're lacking safety. and you're lacking some smarts, because we need each other. Community, being together in a group as believers, accepting one another in all of our imperfections, letting love cover each other, that's called church. That's how it's supposed to work. Does it always work that way? No. Let's be honest. Doesn't always work that way. But you know what? Let's let that be our heart and our desire and our goal for it to always work that way. And when we mess up, let's ask God to forgive us. Let's ask God to help us, to heal us, and let's keep walking. Amen? Amen? But we're in this together. We're in it together, right? And so when we're thinking about community and how important it is to be together, you know, the Bible tells us over in Ephesians 4:16, I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. It says, as each part does its work, it helps the other parts grow. Wasn't that good? As each part does its work, it helps the other parts grow. As we bring our imperfect selves together and say, hey, I'm part of this community, I'm going to do my part. When we had this huge event, it's a great example. Everybody did their part. Some people, their part was finances. They paid for it. Some people's part was building it. They built it. Steve Wells built those games that you saw. Some people's part was the artistic painting. That's Marisol. She can paint anything. Don't stand still too long around Marisol. She will paint you. She will paint you. She's like, you need a second coat. Let me get you, you know? Some people's part was serving. You came here and you said, what do you need me to do? I'll do it. What do you need me to do? Some people's part was loving on little kids. You're great with kids, and that's what you did. But everybody did their part. And then we see the fruit of it. And that's how it's supposed to work. Imagine if all of us do our part, what an impact we can make, not just on our community here, the people that are sitting to your right and to your left. Imagine the impact we can make outside these walls. Where instead of people talking about how hypocritical Christians are, here in Lake Worth, they'll be saying, man, those BVC people are givers. They do this and that. You know, one of the neighbors told Anthony Rizzo, this is just a side journey, but I think it's so funny. One of the neighbors, he's a surveyor, and he was surveying their house, and he said, yeah, I go to church down there. And the neighbor said, we call that our sister of the SUV church. Our lady of the SUV church. And Anthony was like, what? He goes, yeah, everybody that goes there drives the SUV. But it meant, you know, when we all do our part, just like this, we're going to be able to impact with the love of Jesus. Instead of everybody talking about Halloween, which I'm just not into, people are talking about, man, this is great. This is awesome. This is all free. I can't tell you how many times somebody said, where do I pay? How do I give a donation? Everything. We're like, no, this is our gift to you. But that was all of us doing that because everybody does their part. It's part of being a part of the church. So every time we get the chance, the Bible says, let us work for the benefits of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. We need to start with people right here. What are your needs? And then we go out. And so when we're sitting here, when I say some people are doing church all wrong, you're leaving and you're taking all your burdens, all your problems, all your hurts, you're taking it all with you, and you're all alone. When really, if you come and you hook up with somebody in a small group, or you hook up with one of the pastors, or you hook up with one of the ladies, or you hook up with somebody, you say, you know, hey, can you pray for me? Guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to help you. They're going to help you not carry that, because we give those to Jesus, but they're going to strengthen you in prayer. There's nothing like having people that will pray for you. Not pray, you know, because sometimes people, I'm like, please, don't pray for me, please. You know? When somebody said, I don't want somebody praying for me, it says, Lord, if you got time, if it's your will, can you heal Peggy? I know she's done a lot of stuff. I know, Lord. But, you know, if you could look past that, and if she's been good lately, could you help her a smidge? Could you just, you know, just throw a bone, help her a smidge? Could you do that, Lord, if you're in the mood? I don't want that. Please don't pray for me like that. I want somebody who's going to be like, what's going on? All right, let's do this. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. I speak to that sickness and say it has to go in the name of Jesus. I lay my hands on you because the Bible says when believers lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And from this moment on, I'm going to pray in the Spirit for you, and I'm going to be lifting you up. And the Bible says in James 5, it says, I'm going to make much power available to you because I am effectual and fervent and righteous.
Yes.
Because the Bible says I am. I want that person to pray for me. Amen. I want that person. I want somebody who believes the word of God to pray for me. And you know where you find those people? Right here. But you know what? Sometimes people, I can't tell you how many times somebody's come in and they're like, I say, hey, how you doing? Well, I've just had the worst week of my life, and this happened and this happened, and you're just looking at them like, and you were alone? Listen, we're not there because we don't care. We're not there because we don't know. And don't say, well, you should know. Why should I know? Because I can read minds. I cannot read minds. Thank God. Thank God. If Jesus asks you if you want a superpower, don't take that one. Because you'll find out stuff you don't want to know. But it's not, it's,
come on.
How are we supposed to know if you don't tell us? Because we only see most of you guys once a week, right? But you know what? Regardless of how often we see you, we do pray for you.
Yeah.
We, you know, I always joke that the carpet's worn out down here because Pastor Norm and me, and we pace back and forth, and we just pray. And then you say, well, you don't know my name. You know what else we do? We go and we lay hands on every one of these seats. And we say, Lord, whoever sits here, bless them. Strengthen them. Give them wisdom. Give them favor on their job. Give them a greater understanding of you. If they're not saved, Lord, we just thank you now that you're sending laborers across their path to speak the word into their life. We don't have to know your name to pray for you. God knows you. We just got to do the praying part. But we do that because you're part of this community. We do that because we're in this together. We're stronger together than we are alone. Amen? We're stronger together. And so, you know, we need somebody who's going to walk with us. Say, hey, let me walk this journey with you. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. I might say the wrong thing. I may not do the right thing. But my heart is with you and I care about you. Let me walk with you. How many need somebody like that?
Yes.
Amen? You know what? This church is full of people who will say, I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. And then we need people who are going to work with us. How many know there's work to be done? There's work to be done. The Bible tells us, it says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Two are better than one. You can get a whole lot more work done with two than you can with one. You know, yesterday an angel came and blessed me. He's not really an angel. He's greater than an angel. The Bible says we're higher than angels. But, you know, all that stuff that was outside for the fall festival, guess where they put it afterwards? Inside. And so Saturday was big cleanup day. But everybody's tired. How many were tired after that fall festival? Whew, how many needed your extra hour of sleep, right? I mean, we were tired. And so yesterday I got here. I was the only one here. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to start. Right? I'm just going to start. It's a big mess. Let's just start. I'm pumping myself up. I'm just going to start. I got a text message. You know, let me see what's going on, right? Because I needed support. I needed somebody to come and help me. And so, you know, I'm working, and then John Clark walks in. I heard angels singing. John Clark walks in, and then Pastor Norm comes in, and we're just like, all right, you know what? I'll tell you what. Two are way better than one. And then the Bible tells us over here in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken.
Amen.
It says, listen, you're standing alone, you're going to be easily defeated. Because the enemy is going to see. Even, you know, I like to watch the nature shows and stuff. What do they always go for? The weakest, the one that's standing alone, that got separated from the pack. That's who the enemy goes for. Because if you're standing alone, you're easily defeated. Two can defend an attack, but three are even better. Even better. I did a wedding recently, and they did something I'd never done before in a wedding, but I love it, and I would encourage everybody to do it now if you're getting married. And they did a cord ceremony. They had three cords. And I read the scripture. And as I read the scripture, one cord represented the husband, one the wife, and one the Holy Spirit. And as I read the scripture, the couple braided the cords together. And they said, this symbolizes that the Holy Spirit will be intertwined in everything we do. Amen. Isn't that great? Instead of a three-cord strand, it's not easily broken. I was like, oh, why didn't we do this at our wedding? I didn't know. You know, I didn't know. Can't go back. We said, I do, let's smooch, let's go. That's what we did. We didn't have any of that fancy stuff. Hey, but it worked. It's worked. And working. Almost 20 years now. Somebody say glory. If you don't believe in miracles, right here, baby. But you know, the thing is that's so true. The scripture is so true. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Then it says three are even better. How much better is your life going to be if you connect with somebody? And we're not just talking about husbands and wives. We're talking about life. We're talking about friends. We're talking about community, prayer partners, people to walk through this journey together with. And that's community. And, you know, I need people that are going to cry with me a little bit. Because, you know, sometimes life hurts. And sometimes life is painful. And sometimes we lose people in our life that we love. And there's tears that come. And the Bible says to mourn with those who mourn. And it says in 1 Peter 3:8 in the Living Bible, it says, you should be like one big family, full of sympathy towards each other. Instead of pointing fingers at one another when stuff doesn't work out right, instead of talking about people behind their... The only talking we should be doing behind somebody's back is praying for them. Amen. Amen. You don't have to tell somebody a whole story so that, you know, sometimes we disguise gossip in need to know because you need to pray. No. That's not how this works. You don't need to say, hey, did you hear about what happened to so-and-so and then this happened? Listen, I'm only telling you because I need you to pray. Don't fool yourself. God knows what's happened. You don't need to know all the details. You just need to know somebody needs prayer. Amen? Amen. And so instead of, let's be like the Bible says. We should be like one big family, full of sympathy towards each other. There's two teams in life that God has placed you in. One is your biological family. And sometimes that doesn't always work out the way it should. Because again, we got imperfect people. And so sometimes that biological family doesn't last. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it's not the strength that you need. You don't get it from there. But then there's your spiritual family. And that is eternal. And that is all. You can go anywhere in the world and find somebody who shares your belief. You can find another member of your spiritual family no matter where you go. Isn't that amazing? And it's eternal. We're going to be with these people forever. Ever and ever. Somebody say, amen. Yay! Yeah. Some of you are thinking like, forever. Yes. But we'll have our glorified bodies and we'll all be good, right? And then I need somebody who's going to partner with us, right? You need somebody who's going to partner with you, who's going to share the same vision that you have, who's going to say, you know what, we can do this together. How many got a dream that you have? You've got something that God has placed on the inside of you. You need somebody to come and partner with you and say, hey, let's do this together. I'm going to support you. Nobody does anything on their own. When you see a great move of God or a great person of God, they're not out there on their own. Even Jesus wasn't out there on his own. He had his disciples that were with him. He had Peter and John who were the closest to him. And what happened? They prayed for him. They supported him. They helped him. How much more do we need somebody like that?
Amen.
And you know, sometimes we're so tired. We're so tired and we're exhausted. And a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, the reason is because we're trying to do life on our own. I don't need anybody. I can do it. Nobody does it like I do it, so I have to do it. You're exhausting yourself. And you're crying out to the Lord saying, I'm exhausted. And God's saying, I've sent people to help you. But you got to let them help. What if we only had one person working the whole thing Friday night? Because nobody else was allowed. One person cooking 700 hot dogs. One person putting 700 hot dogs in 700 buns. One person putting the 700 hot dogs and the 700 buns, handing them out to 700 people. And then they'd have to run over and make sure all the kids were going down the slide, right? And then they'd have to fill the buckets with candy. It's impossible. You can't get that kind of stuff done with one person. You can't do it. You know why? We're not made to do it alone. God said, it's not good for you to be alone. Can you be alone? Sure. But it's not going to work out the way that you want. And so when we're thinking about life and this journey that we have, I want to get all that I can out of it, and I want to give all that I can to it.
Amen.
Amen? I'm going to tell you a testimony. It might make you cry a little bit, but I got permission from the person to share it. She was in first service, and as we were talking about the power of community, the power of having people that love you and care about you and will pray for you and be there for you, the power of church family, she sat here and she just wept and wept through the whole service. And she came up to me afterwards and she said this. Her daughter, and she said, you can share this. So I'm sharing. I have total 100% permission to share this. Her daughter was murdered several years ago. And it was a violent crime. A sudden violent crime. How many know that? And her daughter was 19. That would just, we can't even imagine that kind of a thing unless you've been through it. And since that time, she hasn't stepped back into ministry much, but she has started to. And on Friday night, she was here, and she served from open to close. And she loved on little kids. And she welcomed, she was Cheryl, she welcomed everybody who came. And she said as she was sitting here that the Lord spoke to her and said that she is completely healed. And the way that she was healed was by being part of a community and serving others. She said, as with tears running down her face, she said, it has taken time, but she said, I am healed. God has healed my broken heart, not by being alone, not by cutting herself off, but by giving and serving again. And she said, I will never be the same again. And she thanked us as a church for allowing her to serve with us. Isn't that beautiful? Life together is healing, it's helpful, it's supportive. It's the way God designed us. You're trying to get healing. You're trying to get feeling of joy and all that stuff without a community. It doesn't work that way. We need one another to get through this life and to prosper in this life. We're not designed to be by ourselves. And so we need to just say, you know what? I got some hurts. I've got some things. They left a mark. How many got some stuff that's left a mark on you? It's left a mark on me. But I'm going to get in there and I'm going to get healing the way that God tells me to through community. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now. And Lord, as we desire to come closer together as a family, to be knit closer together so that we are even stronger for you. Lord, I pray for every person here that has been hurt, has been wronged, that, Lord, that you would help them to see that imperfect people make mistakes and that your love and the love of community is what we all need. Lord, help us look past each other's shortcomings so that we can draw strength from one another. Lord, help us not be self-centered so we can be encouraging to one another. Lord, help us be the church you've called us to be, because we know you have great plans for BBC. And so, Lord, our heart's cry is to help us help each other. Help us help each other. Help each other when we fall. Help each other when we're hurt. Encourage each other as we dream and run with each other with our visions. Lord, help us to be the band of believers you've called us to be. And Father, I pray for those here who are trying to go through life alone, that you would give them the courage and the strength to reach out and say, pray for me. Help me. Hold my hand. Because life is too hard on your own. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're here with us, you strengthen us, and you help us. But our heart's cry is to be the body you've called us to be. We thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, maybe you're here today and you've been on the fence and you don't know if you want to jump in and be part of the body. And the way that you become part of a body of believers is you become a believer. You say, I believe that Jesus was all love and that he loves me. He came, he died on the cross for me. He rose again for me, all because he loved me. That's how you do it. You don't have to learn a bunch of stuff or know the whole Bible or stop doing stuff. You just got to say, Jesus, I believe and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. When you do that, the Bible says that you are translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. You are adopted into the family of God, never to be alone again. So if you're here today with nobody looking around, and I want you to know this, God's not interested in what you've done. It's not about that. It's about what he's done. He's done all that needs to be done. You just need to come. So if you're here today with nobody looking around, just out of respect, and you say, you know what, Peggy, I want to come to Jesus today. I want to receive salvation and know that I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I need Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I need Jesus. I need the family of God. I need what God's got. I see your hand in the back. Anybody else? Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I was part of the family of God, but I drifted away, kind of started doing my own thing and didn't have time for God anymore. But today, I want to recommit my life to God. I want to recommit my life to God. Thank you, Jesus. I always say, God's always got a fresh start for you. You just got to come to him. For the sake of those who raise their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me and rose again. I receive forgiveness, restoration, and redemption all from him. I am saved, a child of God, and on my way to heaven, all because of Jesus. And Father, right now, I make a fresh commitment. I recommit my life to God. A start over. I'm starting over today. And I thank you, Lord, that you forgive me, restore me, empower me to live life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad God's always got a fresh start for you? Amen? I say this a lot, but oh, it's so true. I've been there, and you know, just keep falling over and over again. I've been there, done that. But you know, I said to the Lord one day, I said, Lord, how many fresh starts are you going to give me? And how many know what he said? He said, I'll give you as many as you need. And you know what? He did, and he does. So take your fresh start today. Start again. That's the mercy of God, right? You know, God's got a lot of stuff for us to do. There is a lost and hurting world that needs the church more than ever. The world needs you. The world needs you. And as we grow closer together and our relationships are healthier in our lives, in our church life, in our marriage, with our kids, on the job, all that stuff, it's going to impact the world in a great way. And so that's why we're going to be talking about it in the next few weeks. And then we have a new thing that we're going to be doing, and we're going to tell you more about it, but we're going to do a big impact operation every month from BBC out to our community. How many are ready for that? Amen? We have in November, we're feeding, I have to get the exact number from Maya, but we've raised the money to do several Thanksgiving dinners for people who need them. In December, we're doing what we always do in December, our Angel Tree Drive, where we purchase presents for foster kids in the system who normally wouldn't get Christmas presents, but every year our church, how many do we do, Angela? We do 100. We don't buy like cheapy gifts. We go all out. And it is amazing. Even Angela, every year that we do it, all the people are amazed what a church our size is able to do. You know why we're able to do that? Because we all get together and do it together. Amen? We're stronger together. And so every month we're going to be just impacting the community and saying, hey, Jesus loves you. Yes. Doesn't that sound good? Right. That sounds good.